want you to get your Bible out and turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. This morning I announced the title of this evening's sermon. It's called How to Do That Which Is Hard. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Once you've found it, would you stand with me, please? 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. And we're going to start with verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, man that warreth, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Notice there, it told us that we need to endure hardness like a soldier. Not just a soldier, but a soldier for Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Father, bless us now with thy presence. Lord, the sermon is simple. The challenge is strong. Help us, Father, to be better because we came to church tonight. Someone here faces a hard task. And I pray that tonight we would give them some instruction, some encouragement, and maybe even a little energy to face that task, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Notice there, it talks about our enduring hardness, like a soldier. That means we bear this hardness, or we face this hard thing. That word endure there means you go through it, you encounter it, and it actually means you take it on. You're a soldier, and soldiers, they go to war. Now, when it talks about being a soldier, we're going to war, so we're facing a challenge. We're facing an opposition, and we're to face it, and we're going to have an encounter with it, and our goal is to take it on, and we want to win, obviously. Now, to endure hardness, there is opposition. There's just some opposition in life. Gravity will hold you down. You just can't go do anything you want anytime you want. And there are oppositions all around us. But I always want you to remember that there really is a devil, and he really does oppose you, and he's really going to slow you down if he can. Now, the sermon tonight, it may be that every one of the points that I talk about the things that I say you ought to do to enable yourself to do that which is hard, you might be able to use every one of them. You may have a task that you're facing this week, and you say, boy, preacher, this is good timing. I am facing something. It is a task. It's something that I must complete, and it is very hard. It is very challenging to me. I hope you can use every point. Oh, maybe a point or two, you say, well, that doesn't quite fit my situation. I will promise you, though, if you listen to what I say about helping yourself to do that which is hard, you're going to find a concept or a truth or two tonight that will help you through the hardships of life. Now, I want you to remember this. It was hard for Elijah when he faced the 450 false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. If you've never heard the story, it's an amazing story. But Elijah, and if nothing else, I won't go into the detail of the story, but you have one man of God named Elijah, and he faces 450 false prophets. Now, just numerically, he faced something hard, but he came out on top. He did what he needed to do, and he had victory in his life. He did what was hard. But not only that, you just take the story of Noah. Noah did what was hard. If you've never been told, let me tell you this. When Noah was told of God to build an ark because it was going to rain and the earth would flood, it had never rained before. And therefore, there's not a lot of need for boats and things because you did not have the need because of the absence of water like that. Now, understand something. Noah, all by himself, for over 100 years, he built that ark. He did something that was very, very difficult. And as we know, as much of the human race that would submit to God, Noah and his family, virtually single-handedly, was about to help God spare what part of the human race would submit. And believe me, he did a hard thing. But he made it. He did the hard thing. lot of people don't realize it. When you look at John from the New Testament, John was exiled to an island. It's called the Isle of Patmos. And the reason is because there was an emperor alive at the time of John's life, and that emperor insisted that John worship and give in on some of his beliefs, and John said to that emperor, I will not deny Christ. And they exiled the prophet John, a New Testament writer, and they boiled him in oil and placed him on the Isle of Patmos. Now, I want you to understand something. John did the hard thing. You know, whether you're a child or you're a teenager or you're an adult, whether you're single or you're married, we all face hard things. And life includes some hard things. I don't look to make things hard in my life, but I face hard things. You face hard things. And I think there's some very general concepts or truths or principles that if we will submit to them, if we'll put these things into practice in our life, we can do that which is hard. Now, let me tell you something. There is really no easy way to do that which is hard. So if you say, I was just looking for the easy way to do that which is hard, I'm sorry, I'm going to disappoint you. Because there's no easy way to do that which is hard. There is an easy way to do that which is easy, but there's not an easy way to do that which is hard. And so we must face it. There's going to be some challenge. And God, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, endure the hardness like a soldier. So now he's saying, like a soldier, you're going to face some hard things. You'll have to endure it. In other words, you'll have to face it. You'll have to encounter it. You'll have to take it on. But you can do that which is hard. Now, I'm going to make a little handful of suggestions on what will help you to accomplish that which is hard. First of all, I would recommend that if you face a hard task, that you start early. Start early. Proverbs 8:17 says, those who seek me early shall find me. Folks, have you heard that old saying, the sooner the better? Well, if you're facing something that's going to be hard, then the sooner you get on it, the better off you will be. If you're facing something hard and you're a procrastinator, I'm going to guarantee you, you're going to be throwing in the towel. You're going to come right up on it and you're going to say, I just can't do this. Well, you could have done it had you started 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago or when you knew you were facing, and look right this way, you would be better suited for a good attitude towards something hard if once you realize you're going to face it, you go to work on it. You know what we do? I think God gives us time to do that which is hard, but we put it off. And every day you put it off, you've lost time, you've lost think time, you've lost preparation time. And so in your mind, it gets bigger and bigger and more overwhelming and harder and harder. And so you need to learn, if you want to succeed at that which is hard, get started early. In other words, I'm saying to you, don't waste time. I mean, if you look at that, whatever it is, and you say, that's big, that's going to take everything that I have, then you can't afford to waste a day or a week or a month. Get started. Don't waste time. Don't procrastinate. The sooner, the better. Start early. Folks, in most cases, not in all cases, if you want to succeed at hard things, you may need to get up early. You may need to get up earlier. If you rise at the crack of noon every day and you wonder where the first 6 hours of daylight went, you're gonna struggle. There are different people that are productive in different parts of the day. I don't say that you can only be productive while the sun is out. No, you can get an awful lot done when the sun is not out. But I will say to you, sometimes you got to get up early. You say, what does that mean? I've got to get up at 5 a.m.? No, it may mean that if you work second shift or third shift, you need to get up earlier than what you normally do and make a way to succeed at this hard thing. When you look at it and you say, that's hard. Now, if you want, you can put your tail between your legs and start griping right away, and you can say, that's hard, that's hard, that's hard. Or you can set your clock and get up in the morning and say, it's hard, therefore, I've got to get started right away. So, start early. Secondly, give much. Give much. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Notice those words, give thyself wholly to them. And that word wholly there is not, we're not talking about like the Holy Spirit. It's talking about giving all of yourself. Giving yourself to it. So I need to, if I want to do something that's hard, it'd be a good idea for me to start on it as soon as possible. I start early. Then I must give much to it. I've got to give of myself. Now listen, this part of getting up early means you're putting extra time into it. So if I'm going to give myself wholly to that thing, I'm going to have to give more time to it. Look, if it takes you one day to do the task that is average in challenge, it may take you 3 days to do the task that is heavier in challenge or the hard challenge. So what do? You give much. You give much of your time. It may, look, hard things may cost you some money. You give much. You give much of time. You give much of your money. And I wish I had time to develop this thought. You may have to give much in regard to organizational time. You know, sometimes, let me tell you what you do with a big or a heavy task. You look at it and say, wow, that's big. That's overwhelming. You know, what you might need to do is divide that one task into 4 separate tasks. So you're doing a little organizing. You're subbing out in your mind what needs to be done. But you must give of yourself the time that it takes to organize. You give what it takes financially to get the thing done. You've got to give of your think time. You've got to give of your attention. You've got to give of your energy. Again, I have to tell you, there's no easy way to do that which is hard. Now, folks, we need to understand something. We live in a bit of a generation where people are lethargic and lazy, and they don't want to work hard. They're trying to figure out how to get more money for less pay. And hey, I'm for people being paid well, but I'm just going to tell you, we've got to learn that work is not a bad thing. Work is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with work. But if you've got a hard task, then you're going to have to give much. You give much of what? Give much of your time. It may take much of your money. It may take some of your organizational skill and your attention and your energy. Hey, most people need to learn how to get more out of themselves. I've coached baseball. I coach basketball. I coach soccer. I coach 54 different soccer teams in the years that I was coaching. I can't tell you how many times I've heard a young man say, "Coach, I can't do it. I can't do it." Well, within 20 minutes, they're doing it. Parents, how many times have you heard one of your children say, "Dad, I can't do it. Mom, I can't do it." But you know what? They learned to do it, didn't they? Which meant their opinion in regard to what they can and can't do is not true. They can do it. But in their mind, they've told them that they can't do it. And if somebody says, "I can't," and 20 minutes later, they can, there's not a whole lot of distance in between "I can't" and "I can." What was the distance? It was probably their attitude or a concept that they have in their mind about what they can accomplish. Folks, too many times we say "I can't," but we do. Hey, let me take, for instance, your burdens. How many times have you faced a burden that seemed overwhelming, and it's Friday night and it's 11 o'clock at night, and you've wept and you're tired and you wore out, and you say, "God, I just can't do this." And by the next morning, you're up and you're doing it. Now, I wonder how many people in here said, I'm going to die. And you're talking about emotionally because of something that you went through. It was so hard. It was so heavy. And you said, I'm just not going to make it. And you did. You made it. And you're here. Did any of you ever remember back to one of those times in your life? Your concept of what you can do in regard to hardness, we always sell ourselves short. You say, well, how do you know that? Because God would not allow any hardness in your life without giving you the wherewithal to complete the task or the request that He's given you. God's not an unfair God. God's not going to give you something hard and expect you to do it and then not give you the wherewithal to do it. Which means when you look at it and you say, I can't, God's looking down and saying, you can. And you just needed to stop and have a little faith in God. And it may be that you need to get up early. It may be that you need to decide you're going to give much, but you're going to do this, even if it's hard. So, if you want to do that which is hard, you start early. If you want to do that which is hard, you may have to give much. Then, not only do we give much, you may have to work hard. So I start early, I give much, and then I work hard. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. The song that Jack sang just a moment ago, a couple different ways of singing that song. I like the way he sang it. Even in a song, he threw himself into it. He meant it. He applied himself to it. Folks, we all of us, need not be afraid of getting some physical calluses. That's working hard. Young people, if you have never had blisters on your hands, you should go to your mom and go to your dad and ask them for the privilege of you experiencing a blister. Now, I was blistered in more than one place when I was a kid. I'm a little worried about this generation of young people. They're so soft, it's pathetic. Oh, my. You say, well, preacher, how in the world do you get a blister? I've never had one before. Well, you work and you work and you work your hands and to the point where it just rubs on your skin and rubs on your skin and rubs on your skin. I don't know how God does it, or maybe the devil does it. I don't know who does it. But before long, that skin's going to puff up. And you know, the doctors in here could give you a good explanation. But before long, there's some moisture, some body fluid in there. Hey, and if you pop it and you get some sweat in it or something, it burns real bad. And then that skin will peel off, and then it'll be raw, and you'll finally be a man. You've never had a blister, you don't know what life's all about. Hey, we need to get some physical calluses. Folks, wouldn't hurt for some of you to get some mental calluses. Now, here's what we do. It's make it easy for me. Spell it all out for me. There's some of you, you're going to go to work, and they're going to give you a job, and they would have thought that there was some slight chance you might think about what you need to do. Jonathan, put your Bible down and come up here. You're really way too big and way too tall for this. You know, I'm going to tell you how some of your bosses feel about you. You go into work, and this is what they do. Come on. It's hard. Well, look, when you go to work, listen, young people, children, you shouldn't talk while the preacher's talking. Now, listen, when you go to work, there are some things your boss may give you that's hard. Well, I would have to buckle down and think. Well, don't you worry. Your brain is not going to get fried. You know, you watched a cartoon once and you seen smoke coming out of the Roadrunner's ears. That's not going to happen to you. You don't have to worry. Your brain won't fry. You know, the average person, they don't want to throw their mind into the task. So this is what they do.
If you got to think about it, and you got to organize it, and you got to figure it out, and you got to figure out what comes first and what comes second, what do I have to do to make this happen? You just don't want to do that. This is hard. I don't want to do it. If you want to succeed, you're going to need to start early. You're going to have to give much. You're going to have to work hard. And working hard is not always just the physical. Sometimes it is a mental where you put your mind into it. And I'll tell you, I've experienced both. To be very honest with you, I prefer the physical, because the mental will dead wear you out. And when you have to do both, it is very, very taxing. But some people just don't want to work hard in their thinking. But if you want to do the hard thing, you're going to have to work hard at your thinking. Hey, I recommend to everybody that's in here that's married, I think you ought to work hard at your marriage. Work hard at it. So I want to do the hard thing. I face something that's hard. I'm going to start early. I'm going to give much. I'm going to work hard. Not only that, I'm not looking for excuses. I'm looking for solutions. I'm not looking for excuses. I'm looking for solutions. We took the time to go to Genesis chapter number 3. You'd find out that God told Adam and Eve, you all remember we talked about this some this morning in the Sunday school lesson. God said to Adam and Eve, do not take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Eve took of the tree. And then Adam followed Eve, and he took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what happened? God came to Adam and said, Adam, what have you done? And you know what he did? He said, it was Eve. It was Eve. He had an excuse as to why he failed. You know, folks, if we spend as much time coming up with solutions as we do trying to decorate a good excuse as to why we didn't succeed, we would succeed more. Everybody has a reason why they don't accomplish the hard thing. Hey, don't spend your time looking for excuses. You know, there are actually people that will put hours into their excuse. What would happen if you took hours and put it into the solution instead of into the excuse? Use your energy to solve problems. Look, anything that's hard, it's gonna have some challenges to it. So when the challenges come, instead of using the challenge as an excuse to fail, why don't you use the challenge to increase what you are and get yourself through it and succeed? But just be careful. If you're an excuse maker, and some of you don't realize you are, there are people that both hear, that hear me tonight, some that will hear us when they go on the internet and listen to the sermon. There's some people, everything that's going wrong around you is everybody else, but it's not you. You've got all the excuses in the world. But folks, you know something? I would think that we would want to succeed and not be looking to be an excuse maker. I don't want to get to the Lord and say, God, let me tell you something. Let me tell you all the reasons why I didn't get done what you wanted me to get done. Do you think God's going to say, oh, I know, Jeff. Oh, I know. Come here. Let me rub your belly. Let me pat your... Come here, Jeff. Oh, Jeff, I realize how hard it was, and I am just so glad. I'm sad for you. I don't think that's how it's going to work. I think God was expecting me to solve the problems and go on in life. So, if I'm facing something hard, I think I'll start early. I think I'll decide right now I'll give much. I think I'll learn to work hard, both physically and mentally. I think I will not look for excuses as to why I can't or didn't, but solutions as to why I will and I can. Then, you have to put your heart into it. So number 5, put your heart into it. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2, it says, apply thine heart to understanding. Later on, it says, apply thine heart unto knowledge. And again in the book of Proverbs, it says, apply thine heart unto instruction. That means you put your heart into it. You put your emotion into it. You want it. Folks, I think many times we don't succeed because we just don't put our heart in it. Maybe I should put it this way. Care about it. Care whether you succeed. Care whether you fail. Care whether it is done right. Care about what you do. Don't just do it to get it over with. Do it to succeed. Do it to accomplish. Do it so that you look at it and you can say, look at that. God should be pleased. Hey, maybe I'm saying here, do what you do so it glorifies God. Let him see that your heart was in the work that you did. But you, if you take a good long look throughout the Bible, the people that we would call heroes were people from the Bible that did something that was hard. Hey, Jesus, boy, he had his hands full. Let's just take the thing of the resurrection. Now, I don't see anywhere in the Scripture where when it was time to be resurrected, Jesus said, that last nail they put in me was way too hard. It's early in the morning. It was early in the morning when he was being resurrected. I didn't see that, you know what? Not one excuse. He got up early. He sunk his heart into it. He had a purpose. He had a cause. He did the hard thing. Self-resurrection. That's hard. He said, I feel like I'm going to die. He did. And came back. But he had a reason. He loved you. He cared. He couldn't stay down. He couldn't be defeated. He didn't want the devil to win. And some of you ought to get that cause about you and decide, I'm not going to let the devil win. I am going to go forward. I am going to accomplish. If I have to get up early, I will. If I have to stay up late, I will. If I must sweat, I will. If I must toil, I will. If I have to organize, I will. If I have to fall down and get back up and fall down and get back up and fall down and get back up, I plan to succeed. And I don't plan to succeed in a vain arrogancy, but I want God to be honored and glorified. Hey, every dad in here, get up and do the hard thing. And moms, do the hard thing. Some of you are backslidden. You're in a mess. You're so far away from God, it is pathetic. And you'd say, it's hard to come back. Well, do what's hard. Show your kids your backslidden attitude is not what you really are. Do what's hard. Do the hard thing. But don't make excuses. Make solutions. Put your heart into it. I want to give you one more point. And that is this, partner with God. Partner with God. Let me remind you what I've said. We're to do the hard thing. We'll start early. We'll have to give much. We're going to have to work hard. We're going to have to stop making excuses and start developing solutions. I have to put my heart into it. And then let me stop with this thought. Partner with God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God. You say, what I face is bigger than me. Okay, maybe it is. But it's not bigger than God. It is not bigger than God. When you and God get together, you suddenly, the two of you, make a majority. You say, preacher, the hard thing that I face, I'm so far behind on something, I don't see how it is humanly possible for me to catch up. May not be humanly possible. But is it impossible for God? Is anything impossible for God? So you partner with God. And you say, God, we'll do this together. Maybe the way to put it is this. Walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. You submit yourself to the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you. And you say, God, I am going to live for you today. There are some people in here. You say, Pastor, every day of my life, I face some challenges. Maybe habitual problems that you face in the past and some things that have conquered you over and over again. And you say, every day they are a challenge to me and they're very hard on me. The temptations that come upon me are very hard on me. Then you wake up in the morning and you say, God, I want your help. Today, I'll need your help. Let's do this together. And what you cannot do humanly, you and God together, you form a team, and the two of you can do this. You can succeed. You can make it. You can take it. You can do the hard thing. I am just sure that Noah, when God said, Noah, I want you to save the human race. I want you to build a boat. And Noah said, what's a boat? And God said, it's going to rain. And Noah said, what in the world is rain? And God said, it's going to flood. Noah said, what in the world is a flood? And Noah said, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know how I can do it. I don't know where I'm going to get the materials. And then I think he came to himself, woke up in the morning and said, God, are you there? And God said, I'm here. God. And Noah said, will you help me with this? And God said, I planned to all along. Well, if you're going to help me, I about imagine we can handle this. Now, you and God can get it done. I've faced some big challenges in life. I've faced big challenges in the ministry. I've worked in some massive ministries where the boss said, this is what we're going to do. And I'm thinking, yeah, you think we're going to do that. I don't know how in the world we're going to do that. But let me tell you something. You start out a little frustrated and behind the eight ball, and you're wondering how in the world could it ever be done. And then you begin to realize, well, I'll throw in everything I can, which might not be much. But if I will get the help of God, God and I together can do the hard thing. And wow, it's amazing what God can do. Are you building a business in a time when it's a little more difficult? You can do it. I'm telling you right now how to do it. You can do this. Partner together with God. Walk in the Spirit. Hey, get God's instruction. Walk with God. Hey, walking with God, have you ever heard someone say, work smarter, not harder? Now, I'm not afraid of hard work. I'm not minimizing hard work. I'm maximizing working smart. Hey, let me tell everybody here, working smarter is walking with God while you work. Working smarter is walking with God while you work. I have to tell you, I'm just like you. I was a 16-year-old boy when God called me to preach, and I asked myself, what in the world's going on? There's really no way in the world I ought to do that. I don't know anything about that. How could I ever do that? Scared me to death. One of the things that scared me about it, I said, where in the world can you find things to preach? And I couldn't figure out where, you know, I could, you know, John 3:16, I thought, I'm going to wear that verse out eventually. I'm going to have a little more than that. You know, I discovered if I get with God, God can take care of the area where I lack. I was petrified. When I first started into the ministry and I got to looking about how much money it takes to run a church, and you think about what it costs to insure your house. You got to see what it costs for us to insure this building and what it costs you to insure your car. Now, my last church, I had 30 vehicles, all that had to be insured. And I used to just think, I wonder how in the world you do that. How can we do that? But I'll tell you, you partner with God. You do everything that you can. You get God involved and let God see you giving all of you. God will step in. He'll say, let me help you with the rest. I happen to believe that usually God kicks in when you're about to kick out, not because you're a quitter, but because you've just given everything you can give. You know, when I was teaching my kids to work, and I'm far from a good parent, would never claim to be a good parent. But I will tell you one thing. I taught my children to work. My children were taught to work. But when I was rearing my children and teaching them to work, I would give them tasks that were bigger than them. I want them to figure it out. I didn't baby them all the way through life. And there were times when I would watch them doing something, and I could see them just about ready to crumble under the load. And when I realized they were giving everything and they probably weren't going to make it, I'd go over and I'd grab it and I'd help them carry it the rest of the way. But if they wouldn't give their best, why should I go bail them out? Can I tell you something? If you'd give your best, your Heavenly Father, who loves you more than I love my earthly children, and more than you love your earthly children, when he sees that you're giving all you can, he'll come and he'll bail you out. But he wants to see you do your part. So, we're to endure hardness. We face the hard thing. That word endure, it means bear it, face it, go through it, encounter it, take it on. We're to endure it. How do we do that? You get up early. You give much. You work hard. You don't look for excuses. You look for solutions. You put your heart into it. You partner with God. And the hard thing that at first seemed impossible becomes possible with God's help. There's a million stories that I would like to tell you right now. Things that I face and I said to myself, how do you do that? But through steps just like this, we did it. I'll tell you this. There are also, let's take our church, something that we've all watched together. To go from where we were 3 years ago to where we are today, had someone said to us, and those of you that have joined us along the way, you see bits and pieces of it, and some of you have seen a little bit more of it than others, but to a batch of us, when we all started together 3 years ago, had someone stood up and said, this is where you're going, and said to us, now go do it, we would have all said, meeting after church, can't be done. We would all said, how could we do that? How is that possible? You put too much upon us, Lord. But you know what? We just did what I'm explaining. Did all we could. And you know, sometimes when we gave and we push and we did everything we could, just out of the blue, God comes along and says, hey, let me help you carry that. Let me help you carry that. There was a need here at the church financially this week. And I'd looked and I said, I'm going to find a few pennies here and a few pennies there and I'm going to get this taken care of. And Brother Young, we talked. I was listening to everything that he was saying about the money and I was thinking, well, what about that? I got to figure this thing out. And I basically, when it was done, I said, well, something that needed to be done, it's just not going to get done and I've done what I can to get it done. Yesterday, somebody we don't know pulled into the parking lot and they asked Brother Elswick, said, is a pastor? And he said, no, the pastor's up at the bar getting drunk. And no, Brother Elswick said, no, he's not here, but he'll be back in a little while. Brother Elswick called, said, there's somebody who wants to talk to you, said they want to see you for a second and they're going to come back. And a lot of people pop in here and I never see them again. Well, we came back in for the Nofsinger funeral last night and I'm sorry, the Nofsinger 50th anniversary celebration last night. And sure enough, somebody came to me and said to me, said, Pastor, somebody wants to talk to you. And I stepped up and I said, well, how are you? And I introduced myself. They said, are you the pastor? I said, I'm the pastor. He said, I wanted to give you this. And he handed me a check. And I said, sir, I don't know you. He said, that's okay. I said, I don't think I understand. He said, I feel like you need this. And I did. I don't think he was necessarily rudely in a hurry, but he needed to leave. He got in his car and he drove away. You know what? It was exactly what was needed to get the job done. But we tried to figure it out. I don't know who he was. I don't know where he came from. I did write his driver, his license plate down, and I'm going to have it traced, and I'm going to figure out where he's at. But I really have no idea. But you know what? I'd worked at it, and I'd try to squeeze those pennies from every which way, and I'd thought about it and concentrated on it and tried to figure it out. And you know, that which was hard when I had done everything that I knew to do, God said, okay, let me help you. We'll get through the rest of this, and I'll carry it. And he did. I think, Brother Dave, I think you met the guy, and Brother Elswick, you met the guy. What a blessing. Folks, I think sometimes we don't get it done because we don't do all that we can. We were hoping God was going to come bail us out when God was hoping you were going to do your part first. You say, oh, God, help me to pay my bills. And you eat at McDonald's every day. Now, you're probably not doing all you can. Why would God step in when there are some things that you could shore up in your own life? But there are other people in here that could testify to you. When you come to the end and you've done all you can, God has a way of doing the rest. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
If you're here tonight, you've never been saved. We want to welcome you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're here tonight and you're a born-again Christian, let me give you a challenge. I don't know what you face. Is it the rebuilding of your life? Is it something financially? Is it a challenge in business? Maybe it's the rebuilding of a relationship. Maybe it's a physical task. Maybe you're going to build something or make something or do something, and you're looking at it and saying, oh, I don't know how. How in the world? If you'll follow the steps I gave you tonight, and at the end of these steps, God can look down and say, look at that. They've done what they can. I think I can carry him the rest of the way. I think you'll be shocked at what God will do. And remember, too many times we say, I can't. Oh, yes, you can, because you do. You do later that day. You do later that hour. You do later that week. So you could. But don't deceive yourself about what you can and cannot do, but make sure you partner with God and God will help you to get it done. Who here would say, preacher, I do face some things. They're hard. God's spoken to my heart. I'm going to take something that you've taught tonight and it's going to help me to get through this hard thing that I must do. Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? God bless you. God bless you. We're going to have a time of altar call. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe you say, I'm doing everything I know how to do. Have you partnered with God? Have you gone to God and say, God, I'm not sure I can do this, but with your help, we can do this together. Are you an excuse maker? Are you a blame caster? That won't cut it. You're going to need to look for solutions, not excuses. Are you putting your heart into it? Are you applying your heart? That's how God puts it in Proverbs. Apply your heart. Start early. Get started. Don't waste time. Start on the solutions. It may cost you something. You may have to give of yourself. You may have to give of your time, your money. You may have to give up some sleep. You have to give some organization, some thinking time to it. And then work hard. Work hard. Work hard at the physical challenges, but work hard even at the emotional challenges. The emotional challenges. Put your heart into it. Partner with God. We may let him down, but he won't let us down. My faith was again strengthened when I walked to my office with that check, and I thought, we had done what we could. God stepped up, and he did the rest. But you'll have to give of yourself first. One more time through the song, please. Just one more. Won't be long, we'll be on our way. He said there in the book of 2 Timothy, he said, endure hardness as a soldier. A soldier. You have a ministry here. You say, I'm working on it. I'm building it, but it's hard. You do everything you can. God has a way of kicking in. He'll do the rest.